Thank you for downloading this sermon brought to you by the preaching ministry of Liberty Baptist Church of Las Vegas, Nevada, Dr. David Tice. For more sermons in both audio and video format, we encourage you to visit experienceliberty.com. Also, for a word of encouragement, insight, and biblical inspiration, follow Pastor David Tice's blog at davidtice.com. So without further ado, let's open our hearts to the Word of God.
Oh, we live in a world where we have an enemy, and he's real, and he's powerful. And if we're honest, it seems like more often than not, we're experiencing defeat. But that does not change the fact of who our God is. And victory is promised to those who believe in him, who put their faith in him. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. That's a truth that we need to remind ourselves of every single day, because we all have mountains and obstacles and valleys that are in our way. But our God is victorious. And he always wins. And guess whose side we are on tonight? We're on God's side. If you have a relationship with him, we are victorious. Man, I'm excited about that. This right here. That was absolutely incredible. I mean, I have heard the reputation and testimony of Liberty Baptist and your Christmas in June. And it was a real privilege and honor just to sit here and to take that all in tonight and to be a part of that. Wow, that was just, my mind was blown just seeing all of that come. And you know what? I know that God is going to continue to bless your church as long as you continue to honor what God honors. And giving sacrificially in that way, $20,000, I don't care where you are or how much money, that is sacrificial giving right there. And honoring and recognizing what missionaries do and what the Lord's called them to. And to be a blessing like that, that is just an absolutely incredible testimony. And before we move away from Christmas, I've been thinking about this all day. You want to talk about the power of the gospel. How many of you have seen Home Alone? Kevin, you know Buzz? Buzz is saved. Glory to God. Buzz needed salvation. And I am so blown away that he is headed to the Dominican Republic to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to the lost. I mean, that is good stuff right there. I turned around and I saw him today. I told my wife, I said, Buzz is here. Look over. I said, don't stare, but when you get a second, look at that guy right there. So I asked him, I said, has anybody ever told you you look like Buzz? And he says, all the time, everywhere he goes. And so anyway, it's a blessing to be here tonight. When I was talking to Richard and when he was telling me about what you guys do on Thursday nights, he's just really talking about the fact that missionaries are heroes. And so my message tonight is, world Christians are heroes. If you have your Bible, take them and turn to Mark chapter 10 tonight. Take them and turn to Mark chapter 10. I want to give you a definition of a hero. A hero is a person who is admired or idealized for courage, outstanding achievements, or noble qualities. Courage. Listen, it takes courage to leave all you have ever known to step out by faith and pursue a new life. I don't care if you're going to China, to the Dominican Republic, to the city of Las Vegas, to step out by faith and to go where God calls you to go. That takes courage. You know what courage will result in? Outstanding achievements. Not because of any human abilities, but when you step out by faith, trusting and believing God to provide and supply every single need that you have all along the way, you're going to find out that not only does God provide and supply your needs, but he does exceeding abundantly above anything that you could ever ask or think. Talk to these missionaries. Ask them what they've seen God do in their life. And I promise you, you will be blown away by story after story and example after example of how God has provided and met their needs. You, Liberty Baptist Church, have played a part in that. This is a story that I guarantee they will share, the blessing that you have been, and just the reminder about how real God is and how he provides and meets their needs every step of the way. Noble qualities, being willing to deny yourself so that others can have Christ, the gospel. That's a noble quality. Missionaries truly are heroes. But listen, I want you to understand this too. Missionaries are no more special than any other person sitting here. God expects courage and he expects those same noble qualities out of us. God wants to do extraordinary things in your life as well as you step out by faith and as he provides and meets your needs and transforms you and changes you into the people that God wants you to be. He wants to do the same for you. What the difference is with missionaries and why we treat them the way that we do And why we honor and recognize the fact that they are heroes is just because they are incredible examples of what God expects from all of us. You know why we are here tonight? Because we recognize that missions is the very heartbeat of God. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. These missionaries are world Christians, and world Christians are heroes because we admire the lengths they are willing to go to get the gospel to the world. You know what? God expects the same for us. I've really appreciated the presentation from Refuge of Hope right here in Las Vegas, and how many people will partner with them because and be willing to go to lengths and to extremes to get the gospel to people that need it right here inside this city. Tonight we're going to see what God requires, not just of missionaries, but of all of us here in Mark chapter 10. And so the first point I want you to see tonight is this. World Christians choose suffering. World Christians choose suffering. This is the story of the rich young ruler. He was a good man. He was a religious person. He believed in God. He did right. He lived his life. And we're not going to read every verse in here, but Jesus said, obey the commandments, keep the law. He says, I've done that from a youth. He was a good person. But you know what? Something was missing from his life. Something was missing. Something that money couldn't give him. And that's why he comes to Jesus and he says in verse 17, and when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? I want us all to understand tonight that inside the heart of every single human being that's ever born into this world, something is missing. God has created us with a God-sized void that only He can fill. You live in the city of Las Vegas, where people come from all over the world to find some sort of satisfaction and fulfillment that they're not finding in their ordinary lives. You know why? Something is missing from their lives. And at the end of the day, everybody has vulnerable moments in their life where they start asking those questions. Why am I here? And what happens when I die? There's something missing inside of every single one of us. And he comes to Jesus and he says, what shall I do to have eternal life? Look what Jesus says in verse 21. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, one thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast and give to the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me. Sell all that you have and give to the poor? What does he mean? In order for us to be saved, do we really need to go sell all that we have and give to the poor to have eternal life? No, that's not what Jesus was saying. Jesus is able to look past the exterior and see directly to the heart. He knew that this young man wanted Christ, but he also wanted his money. He wanted his comforts. He wanted life to stay the way that it was. And he wanted Christ along with it. And Jesus says, it does not work that way. If you're going to choose Christ, he wants to have all of us, 100% of our hearts, our minds, our souls, our spirits. He wants us to be willing to follow him to the ends of the earth if that's where he calls us to go. He wants us to be willing to say, hallelujah, all I have is Christ. All I want is Christ. He wants us to love him and not the world. To choose suffering. For a rich man to sell all that he had would mean to suffer. I mean, think about it. To go from a mansion, to go from nice cars, from servants, from expensive vacations, to sell all that you have and give to the poor, that would create a suffering in his life, something that he was not used to, something that he had not known before. That's asking a lot. To follow Christ for these disciples, you know what it meant? It meant traveling from village to village, sleeping outside in the cold and rain, long days of serving people. That's suffering. Sacrifice is part of the Christian life. God wants us to die to this world. This young man wanted to hold on to what money could buy him. A nice house, a car, new phones, nice vacations, etc. And what Jesus is saying, you need to be willing to die to that because guess what? It hasn't satisfied you. Think about that. It doesn't satisfy. He had everything that money could offer and yet something was still missing enough to the point where he went to Jesus and was asking, what can I do to have eternal life? You know what God expects? He expects us to be willing to use our time, our talents, our resources so that others can be saved. Just like he did, Jesus sacrificed so that we could be saved. He left heaven. He was born into a poor carpenter's family. He spent many nights without a roof over his head. He knew what it was like to be hungry and cold. He knew what it was like to do without something in order for others to be saved. Jesus set the example for us in that area. Think about that too, by the way. I'm not talking about earthly man. We're talking about Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he left heaven to come to this earth, to go to a cross so that corrupt sinners, not even good people, but corrupt sinners who had rejected him and turned their backs on him could put their faith and trust in him and find salvation and be saved. Are we that different from the rich young ruler? I want Christ, but I also want my life. Think about that. Are we that different? Is Christ really our passion? Is he really our focus? Are we really sold out for him that if he were to call tonight and say, hey, I want you to take your family and I want you to move to China, or I want you to take your family and I want you to go reach one of the Muslim countries that have not been reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ, would we be willing on the spot to say, I've already given my life to you. Here I am. Take me, use me however you want. Or are we just comfortable and satisfied with where we're at in life and we want Christ, but we also want our comforts and we want our pleasures and we want our normal lives? This is the life that Paul rejected as a Christian. Because there was a God in heaven, because Jesus Christ did rise again from the grave, because there is an eternity in hell waiting for all who die lost in their sins, Paul rejected a life of pursuing ordinary pleasures and avoiding extraordinary suffering. And that's what we are really good at as Americans, the opposite. We pursue comforts and we avoid extraordinary suffering at all costs. And Paul said, no, Jesus Christ is real and hell is real. And there is salvation to be won by every human being on this earth. And I'm willing to suffer. I'm willing to be beaten. I'm willing to be in prison. I'm willing to have my head chopped off for the sake of Jesus Christ. You know, we have such a different approach to faith than Paul. You know, a lot of times, I don't know if you've ever found yourself in a conversation with people and it comes up and, you know, you say something like this: even if we get to the end of the life and we found out that we had it all wrong, I'm still not going to lose for choosing Christ, because I had a good marriage and, you know, I lived a good life, a clean, wholesome life. I have no regrets. And even if God's not real, when I get to the end, I'm still going to be better off than you. You know what Paul said? That's not true. Paul lived his life in such an extreme way that he repudiated even that thought. He said, if Christ is not real and if he did not rise again from the grave, then you should have pity on me, because I am of all men most miserable. And if Christ did not die and if he did not rise from the grave, then eat, drink, be merry, enjoy your life, and forget about any type of suffering whatsoever. Paul repudiated that life because he chose suffering. He was willing to do whatever it took to get the gospel of Jesus Christ to a world that's in desperate need of it. Being a world Christian means choosing to suffer in this world. Philippians says that suffering has been given to us like a gift. Like a gift. Timothy tells us to endure suffering like a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Ephesians tells us that we are going to suffer from attacks from Satan. He's going to try to get us to fail. Peter tells us that we are going to suffer for doing good. For doing good. For rescuing women that are entrapped in sex slavery. For doing good, you're going to experience suffering for that. For taking the gospel of Jesus Christ, we're going to experience suffering from that. Yes. You know, 1 John tells us to lay down our lives for others, live poor so that others can be rich. Jesus himself was the only perfect person to live. And you know what we as a human race did to him? We killed him. The only perfect person with the purest heart of love to ever walk on the face of this earth. We took him to a cross and we killed him. Choose suffering. That's the call to follow Christ. That's what he's asking from every single one of us in here. Die to yourself. Sell all that you have. Be willing to leave father and mother and houses and land. Then you will be a world Christian. And in our missionaries, we see an example of people that are living that out in front of us. And that's why we treat them as heroes. But you know what? God expects the same thing of every single one of us in here tonight. Not only, though, do world Christians choose suffering, world Christians see there's nothing to lose. There's nothing to lose. You might think I'm contradicting myself here. Just follow along. The disciples were so astonished at this. And by the way, the rich young ruler, it says in verse 22 that he was sad at the saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked round about and saith unto his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answereth again and saith unto them, children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? The rich young ruler walked away sorrowful. I have to stop here for a second and be honest with you. When I've heard messages like this from the time that I was a teenager, I knew the truth in them. And I knew what Jesus was asking of me. But I'll be honest, I did not always easily surrender to the call that he had on my life to preach the gospel. Because I knew what he was asking. No, and even to this day, sometimes I have a fear. I feel like if God's really going to use my life, then something terrible or something extreme is going to happen in my life. You know, just because it seems like that does happen often. A lot of times in missionaries and people that God has used greatly, something maybe tragic or something that's terrifying seems to have happened in their life. And so as you hear messages like that, it starts pulling on your heart. You know that you should surrender, but there's something inside of you that's still scared or leery that's holding you back. You know what? Sometimes we are no different than the rich young ruler. And instead of surrendering and just trusting God, we walk away sorrowful. The disciples were astonished. They said, who then can be saved? This is where we start getting to some good news. Look at verse 27. It says, and Jesus, looking upon them, saith, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. By the way, this is the great hope of every single missionary. With God, all things are possible. This is the great hope of every Christian. This is the great hope of every church planter. This is the great hope of every pastor. When you look out on your communities and you see the obstacles and you see the mountains that stand in the way, remember that we have a God that can speak a word and move any mountain. And so Jesus is not saying that rich people cannot be saved. He's saying with God, nothing shall be impossible, but it's hard and it's a challenge. And even for us as American Christians, it's hard and it's a challenge because we're used to comfort. But can I tell you something? That if you are willing and if you are surrendered with God, all things are possible, and he can take away your desire for comfort, and he can even help you to embrace the fact that you're going to choose suffering. Because you know why? As we go through this, we find out that there's really nothing to lose. Look at verse 28. Peter, good old Peter, he says something very prideful. Then Peter began to say unto him, lo, we have left all and followed thee. There's Peter patting himself on the back. Listen, hey, I'm glad we're not like that rich young ruler. I'm glad we're not like the other rich people that can't be saved. We have forsaken all. We have followed you. Look at what Jesus' response is in verse 29. And Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that have left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive an hundredfold. Don't miss that next phrase. Now in this time. Houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions and in the world to come, eternal life. Jesus rebuked Peter right there on the spot. No man who leaves father and mother and houses and lands is not going to be rewarded. You will receive a hundredfold in this life, Peter. Not only in this life, then in the next life, you have eternal life that is waiting for you. And so, yes, we choose suffering. We take up our cross. We deny ourselves. But then Jesus reminds us that we are following Him and we are on the winning side. And there really ultimately is no such thing as suffering, because our God sees it and He knows it, and He is a better giver than we could ever possibly imagine. Now, what's he talking about here? Is he talking about financial prosperity? No. Is he talking about spiritual family? In a sense, maybe. You know, the church does provide a family that can be closer than even your biological family. There's been many people that have been saved who their relationships with their biological family changes, and the body of Christ steps in and makes up for that and that difference. And so, yes, I think the body of Christ is part of that answer of the hundredfold in this life. But I really think the heart of it is this. Could it be that Christ himself makes up for every single sacrifice? Could it be that Christ being a friend that sticketh closer than a brother is 100 times better than any earthly relationship that you could ever have? Could it be that Christ has promised to never leave thee nor forsake thee is enough to put 100 times more contentment in your heart and soul than any home that you have ever lived in or any amount of money that you could ever make? Do you think that is what our hearts are longing for, and that's what our hearts are searching after? When we realize that there's ultimately no satisfaction and fulfillment to be found in anything that this world can provide but in Christ and Christ alone, and we're willing to just pursue Him and say, if I have you, I have enough. That's where it's at. And so, yes, we deny ourselves, and yes, we take up our cross and we follow Christ, but we see there's nothing to lose, because what we're gaining is Christ himself. And he can more than satisfy and meet your needs in your life. Let's skip down to the last point. World Christians focus on winning Christ. Actually, let me just go back up. I'm trying to work through this because of time, but just want to challenge you this before I move on to the next point. Choose suffering and find treasure. Is giving really a sacrifice, by the way? Is giving really a sacrifice? Hey, we give in our family. Faith Promise is something that God's worked in our hearts about, and we give. We give a considerable amount of our money. We give it to missions, we tithe, and then we just started in our church. God's been blessing, and we have a capital campaign. We're out of parking space, we're out of property space, and we give. And you know what? I drive 2 minivans. 2. That's embarrassing, okay? I mean, I'm a man. I have 3 sons. And every single morning when we get up and we take them to school, we take them to school in my minivan, which is the 2004 that's fallen apart. It makes loud noises every time you stop at the red lights. It's got this cloth thing on the ceiling that's sagging down, and my boys are horrified by it. And every day when they complain, you know what I say? This is our kingdom van. We're driving this because we support missionaries that are all around this world. And you know what? Is that really a sacrifice to drive a car that's falling apart? No, that's not a sacrifice whatsoever. Especially when you realize that what we're doing is we're laying up treasures in heaven. We're laying up treasures in heaven. Is it really a sacrifice to pray? Hey, to give up a night of TV, to get up an extra hour early in the morning to pray and to beg God. Listen, that's work. That's not easy. Sometimes when you pray, it feels like suffering and it feels like agonizing before God. But is it really suffering when God answers and He shows His glory and He shows His power and He does things that can only be attributed to Him? No. Is it really a sacrifice to serve? To serve, to give up hours when the phone rings, to get out of bed at night, to maybe go be a blessing to somebody who needs it. Is that really a sacrifice to come and to teach a kid Sunday school class or to practice extra to sing songs when people are being saved, when lives are being changed, when people are being rescued from their lives where they're about to fall apart and they're about to commit suicide and take their lives, and then 2 years later they're stable and they're living for God and they're serving Him? Is that really a sacrifice? No, that'll give you more satisfaction and fulfillment than you could ever imagine. Is full-time ministry really a sacrifice? Surrendering to go to the mission field when there's going to be a crown of righteousness that's waiting for us in heaven? That's going to be presented. I can't even wrap my mind around this. We're going to stand before the King of Kings one day. We're going to see those nail scars in his hands and in his feet. Me, an unworthy sinner who has all kinds of problems, just like everybody else in here tonight, who is so undeserving of the mercy and grace and love of God. And he's going to look at me and say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Here's a crown for serving me faithfully. And I know who I am, and I know how undeserving and unworthy I am of that. But that's our God and that's our Savior. Is there really such a thing as sacrifice when that's what's at stake, when that's what we get to reap and that's what we get to receive, when we deny ourselves, when we lay down our lives, when we take up our cross, and when we follow Christ?" No. No, there's no such thing as sacrifice. And the last thing I want to say tonight is this: world Christians focus on winning Christ. They focus on winning Christ. Here's a question, and we'll close with this question, and I'll say a couple things about it. But what do you have that the world doesn't? What do you have that the world doesn't? Later Peter realized how true everything that Jesus said was. And in 1 Peter 1, verses 6 through 8, Peter tells us that he gained joy through suffering. He says this: "The trial of your faith is more precious than gold because Christ is pleased with you." You know what? Because Christ is pleased with you, you know what he says in 1 Peter? "You rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory." You know what Peter found when he realized that he really hadn't surrendered anything, and when he was no more denying Christ, when he found forgiveness, and when he was wholeheartedly 100% in as a follower of Christ? Do you know what he found? That he suffered. But do you know what he found? He knew Christ in a way that he was so pleased with him that he said, "I am so full of joy that it's unspeakable and it's full of glory, and I wouldn't trade anything that I had before for what I now have in Christ." Inexpressible joy. That's something that we as Christians should have that the world does not have. Paul says in Philippians 3, "I've suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ." Paul's desire was to win Christ above all things, not win salvation, but win Christ in a deeper, fuller way, to the point where he said this, that he wanted to know the fellowship of his sufferings. Think about that. Have you ever prayed that? I told you about my prayer earlier. I pray, "Lord, here's my life, and I'm surrendered, but don't teach me any lessons the hard way. Help me to learn them all the easy way so I don't have to learn them the hard way." It's kind of how we pray. Paul said, "I want to know Christ in such a close, intimate way. Give me the fellowship of his sufferings." You know what God did? God gave him the fellowship of his sufferings. There's no doubt about it. "I want to know Christ so well that I'll take beatings, I'll take prison, I'll take the cold, I'll take hunger, I'll take the rain, I'll take angry mobs every single time, because every single time they bring me closer to Christ in a deeper, fuller, more intimate way. Sign me up for anything that draws me closer to Christ, because that's where satisfaction is. That's where fulfillment is. It's not in anything else, and I'll suffer anything so that I can win Christ." Listen, this shouldn't be that hard of a concept for us to understand, because we see it in athletes and we see it in soldiers who do suffer and deny themselves. They put their bodies through extreme things. And what we don't see when they win championships or when they take an Olympic gold medal is the days of literally blood, sweat, and tears and the agony that they poured out. Why? Because they wanted to win the prize, and the prize was worth it. It's time that we get a hold of that. There's nothing to lose. There's a prize to win, and it's fellowship with Jesus Christ in such a close, intimate, personal way that right after I'm beaten and right after I'm thrown in prison, I can sing praises to God at the top of my lungs when that earthquake happened and the Philippian jailer came in and was about to fall on his sword. And Paul says, "We're all here." And that man put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ because there was a man sitting in that jail cell who knew what the peace of God that passes all understanding was all about. And he wasn't running or going anywhere. He was embracing every bit of what Christ brought his way. Wow. Wow. He had the peace of God which passes all understanding. Paul also said in that same verse that he wanted to know the power of his resurrection. And he did that. He won the power of Christ. The exceeding greatness of his power. He healed people, raised people from the dead, saw thousands of people saved because he chose to be a world Christian. How do you want to live your life? How do we want to live our... Do we want to get to the end of our lives and look back and be full of regret for all the missed opportunities because we were nominal Christians that walked the fence? Yes, we want Christ, but we want our lives and we want our comfort. Or are we going to be Christians that are all in, no matter what it means, suffering? I'm going to die to myself. I'm going to take up my cross. I'm going to follow Jesus because I realize that there's nothing to lose. There's everything to gain, and it's Christ. And it's an inexpressible joy, and it's a peace that passes all understanding. And it's a power to save, and a power to change, and a power to transform. And that's where I want to live my life. What do we have that the world doesn't? What God's calling every one of us to do here tonight is to be world Christians. There's a world that's lost and dying and in desperate need of a Savior. And we know the truth. We have the answers that they're looking for. And all he's waiting for is for every one of us to say, I am all in. I'm dead to myself. I'm taking up my cross and I'm following Jesus. And I'm pursuing the joy that only he can give, the peace that only he can give, and the power that only he can give. And I'm going to trust God to do exceeding abundantly above anything that you could ever ask or think. I'm telling you, that's where satisfaction is found. That's where fulfillment is found. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the truth of it. Lord, I pray that every one of us would take that message to heart, myself included. Lord, I need to be reminded of this on an everyday basis. Lord, my flesh is powerful. I don't naturally want to choose suffering. I like comfort. Lord, I like the comforts of this life, but help me to be reminded about a world that's in desperate need of a Savior. Help me to be reminded about the relationship that I can have with Christ and that I have everything to gain by dying to myself, by taking up my cross, and by following you. And Lord, I pray that I would never hesitate at anything you ever asked me to do, but that I would be 100% all in and that the world would see an inexpressible joy, a peace that passes all understanding, and the power of Christ in my life. Not because there's anything special about me, but because it's all because of what you did for us on the cross. Work in hearts and lives tonight. In Jesus' name we pray.
We hope that message was an encouragement to your heart. Now, for weekly updates and for information about Liberty Baptist Church, be sure to follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook at LBC of Las Vegas. Well, that's it for today. Thanks again for listening. Until next time, God bless you.